bonus material, so I started recording it, but about a minute and a half in, I realized there was nothing really good.
People want to, they don't, you know, I will say this.
You should have an anecdote corner of your podcast, and you go, all right, we're going to go into an anecdote now.
Well, I want the whole thing to be anecdote, you know, just all five anecdotes. I'm doing this because I just want to talk to you about things like Dave Ott and Andy Lurie and the scene in 1999. That's my main interest.
We'll reconvert it to Chicago 99 comedy scene recap.
Apparently, there's a big market for what happened back then, right?
Yeah.
People are writing books about it. I tell you, I was in the Art Institute recently. Did I tell you this? Why did you go like that?
Because the book's for sale.
Yeah. Why would they carry that book, right?
I don't know. Brido was happy when my missus took a picture of it.
Oh, you were there too and saw it too, yeah?
Sure. My missus did, and then we sent it to Brido, like, oh, you've made it.
Yeah, wasn't that's interesting that it was there.
Yeah. You should pitch Netflix. It's more of a visual deal than a anecdotal.
Just tell my stories.
No.
How about we get
a complete recreation of Chicago comedy scene 1999.
I guess it is kind of being transcribed, but maybe we get somebody in here and just record our stories, you know, put it into a book, you and I. It'll be like a 800-page book, you know, like an encyclopedia of stories.
A manifesto.
Yeah. It's good to remember the old stories, you know?
It's not.
Why?
I think there's a danger in nostalgia, because I've fallen into the nostalgia trap many a time.
Well, this whole place is nostalgia. You sit in that bar and it's a fucking...
No, I mean, it's painted up nostalgia, but it's about the now. It's about the kids. Right? No one cares about anyone over 40.
No?
No. That's what everyone over 40 is wrestling with. No one cares about what I think anymore.
So you're saying nobody cares about 50-something-year-old Dave Chappelle? Beg to differ.
Is that a segue?
That is a segue.
All right, so I got some exciting news.
He's booked at the Lodge?
No. We had 14 listens on our first podcast release.
I think that was three of them were mine. Does it capture it if you listen to it, like have to keep going back in and starting it?
I didn't drill down. I just looked at the high level numbers.
Well, you can drill down. down. I can only drill on
the 14.
You're gonna have to explain to me, because I can only listen to it if I go into the text and click on the link that you sent in the text, and then I play it. And then if like I get a call in the car or the directions will pause it, then it stops. I got to go back into the text. And then I got to restart it and push it to the beginning.
Can't you download it from I don't know.
What
podcasts.
Is it on? Is it on an app? Where is this?
It's on Castos, which is the host. And then it spreads its tentacles to... It's on iTunes, right?
Well, yeah. Do you have it set up to do all that?
Yeah.
Like, did you go through like the whole...
Not everything, but the big... Because some of them it wanted me to... Oh, you got to create an account to send it to iHeartPodcast.com. Well, F that noise. You only need it one place.
Oh, I can search it. What's the name of this podcast?
What is it called this week?
Isn't that special? Isn't that special?
Isn't that special?
You just can't say it the way some people say it. Yeah, I like that. Isn't that special?
Yeah, comes up number one.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the number one podcast?
It's the number one podcast in America today.
Wow. Because I found the first episode to be unlistenable. Unlistenable. Listenable? That's a hard one to say.
Certainly is painful.
Well, it is. It's a bad podcast.
Stretched paper thin.
Stretched paper thin. Yeah, it's not good. But it's hard for me to be objective because I just don't like listening to myself. Have you listened to it?
I can't listen to myself because I sound exactly like my cousin Jamie.
Really?
I don't sound like me. I sound exactly... I'm like, oh, that's Jamie speaking.
So you have a different idea of how you sound in your head than you do.
I think everyone does, don't they?
Well, I don't know.
You sing, Christian. What does it sound like to you when you sing?
It doesn't sound anything like... Everyone has that thing though. The voice coming out of your head sounds different going past your ears than it does when it enters back through your ears. You know, I have no idea what it sounds like when I sing because I never record it.
All right.
So you'd have to ask, you know, what Borky would know.
Yeah. I mean, everyone sounds like when I hear you or you recorded and play it back, I'm like, yeah, that's what they sound like.
Oh, you know,
so
what?
You do sound like what you sound like.
That's not true. I was the singer in one of the bands I was in, and I always thought my singing just sounded like me talking.
But your voice sounded the way you think your voice sounds.
No, when I talk and I hear myself recorded speaking, it doesn't sound how I think I sound. But when I hear myself singing, I can tell, oh, that's my voice talking.
Well, like say, if you listen to anyone recorded other than yourself, you always think, yeah, that's what they sound like, right? So what you hear as you recorded is clearly what you are.
Maybe I've just listened to myself in my old comedy tapes too many times. I sound exactly the way I think I sound. I'm not surprised by that.
No, you sound like a shitty Norm Macdonald knockoff you're on stage, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to be. Yeah, I was hoping it wasn't that obvious. Here's an anecdote in Anecdotes Corner. One of the first, before the show, we were talking about some of the first times, well, you went up at the Pick Me Up Cafe back in 98.
You went up at the Comedy Dungeon in Boston.
Yeah, I went up at Dick. Do you ever go to Boston, the comedy shows?
I went to your birthplace with a massive vault door.
Yeah, Dick
on
Doherty's
it.
Comedy vault. Yeah. That was my birth.
Why do people always alliterate comedy? It has to be Lincoln Lodge.
Comedy Vault?
No, Dick Doherty.
That's the guy's fucking name, Dick Doherty. He wasn't making it up.
Yeah,
Dick Doherty's the guy's name.
Well, did you ever meet Dick? The Dickster?
No.
Ricky?
No. He was an old guy.
He wasn't
around running the show. He was just a namesake. You know, like,
he never,
like Bob Chin's.
Even I
put... Bob Chin's not actually there, I don't think.
Even I put in an appearance once in a while. Surely Dick Doherty came in for the Christmas gathering or...
When you make an appearance here, do they bring you out like Russell Simmons at the end of the show? You should.
No.
Right? Like, thank you, everybody. Good night.
No, people go, are you Mark? And I go, no, I'm the guy who repairs the toilets. And I scurry away.
Because you know they want something from you, right?
No, I just don't. I don't particularly need to engage.
No, but this is what this is all about. This is you re-entering humanity.
Yeah.
Anyway, quick story, quick little anecdote. One of the first times, maybe it was the second time I performed in Boston at Dick Doherty's Comedy Vault, I came off stage after performing, and this comedian named John Fish. I think he kind of actually...
Yeah, he kind of sort of made
you know,
it. Didn't
yeah, he did
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
make it, John Fish. I thought I did awesome, right? I had a bunch of friends in the audience that gave me free laughs. But I was doing complete Norm Macdonald pantomime, or whatever you would say. Pantomime is that no words in pantomime, right?
Right.
Impression.
Yeah. And he goes, keep it real, dude. Like, in other words, I interpreted it like, dude, you're doing somebody else's act. Like, keep it real, or something like that.
Huh. You weren't doing normal jokes that way.
No. I wouldn't be so bold.
I don't think.
But one time I did do Jeff Foxworthy's entire act verbatim.
I remember that.
Apropos of what, I don't know. I was I don't know why I brought that up, but
it's probably one of your art house statements that you were fond of at that time.
Yeah.
That was during your first failed marriage, wasn't it? You were very art house.
Hey! My kids could be listening to this. You know, I'm ready to blow the lid off of that story. My kids don't know. I have an 18-year-old. None of my kids know that I was married once before.
No way.
No, it's true. My wife will not allow me to tell them. And people have like made jokes about it in front of them. They just kind of goes over.
No way. Yeah. That's a complete crock of bullshit.
It's the honest to God truth. They do not know.
So I got to cut this whole section out.
No, leave it out there. They're not going to listen to this.
I keep forgetting. I sat there and I'm like, should I cut this out? And I'm like, cut it out for whom?
If you're going to cut a section, cut the part where we talk about what we sound like talking.
Yeah.
That was
way
juicy.
Too
that was a juicy
bombed.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Ah.
No, I listen. Let's nobody's listening to this.
All right.
Let's just do this for ourselves.
14 people are.
Yeah, who were? Do we know any of the other 14 people?
It doesn't send
Heather,
their email addresses.
I was one of them.
You were?
I
me. You. Probably
logged. I might have logged. I logged on to click and check that it was there, but I never listened to it.
I haven't shared it with anybody yet. Is this just the one episode that's out?
Yeah, I've been meaning all week to publish, but I just can't get to it. But I'm probably just going to railroad them all. All right.
Well.
That's Anecdote Corner. We should have a jingle where you play it and then play it out.
We bring in some instruments.
All right.
Well, I want to thank you guys for making the time for me. I know it's hard to get me in here with my very busy schedule. I have a full life, as you know. And I'm giving up something by being here today. Fridays at this time is when I make love to my wife. And I will not be making love today, or probably for the next week.
What if we just rub one out in the car on the way there?
No. No.
Why does it have to be no?
Well, it's really the only time we can carve out with our full life. You know? So if I seem strange during this, it's because I'm conditioned. Like, Pavlov's dog to make love during this hour.
All right. Can you turn like that way?
Yeah.
I don't want you going off.
Panting over here. Horned up. You don't have times you make love to whoever it is you make love to? Set times?
Spontaneity.
Spontaneity?
You're desperately trying to avoid Dave Chappelle today, aren't you?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't think anybody cares what we think about these specials.
Yeah, but it's the thread, isn't it?
The what?
It's the thread.
The tie that binds.
Yeah, yeah.
The thread. Yes, it is the thread. So, yeah, we can talk about
it. Because you wanted to convert this into a sex podcast, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I think you're avoiding talking about how you make love.
I'm not here to talk about that.
No. How about you? You want to talk about how you make love?
I agree with the spontaneity.
Yeah. Drop them and go.
Yeah.
I think it's weird to have a set time.
Yeah.
Kind of a turnoff.
Well, my wife won't make love after hours.
After which hours?
Yeah.
After the kids go to bed. You know, we have a house full of kids, and she won't make love while they're in the building.
Awkward questions.
Yeah. So we have to make love when they're not there, and when they're at school. It's got to be before like 2:30. We usually carve out time to make love. So.
Well. If we get through this quickly, you know, you might still be able to.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'm not going to rush it because I'll rush through this and I'll rush home.
Get your knickers off, girl. I'm on the way.
I would, but then we're getting too close to the school bell.
And
sometimes these kids get out early and they come in the house.
That's exciting, though.
She'll have her knickers off.
How'd you make it home in that old shitbox Volvo?
Well, it went home fine and drove fine the next day. It is now crapped out in front of Frederick Jan's school. My kid was driving it and it fucking died again.
Yeah, and didn't take any WD-4.
I didn't even know he took it. I wouldn't know how to explain to him on the phone what to spray down.
You know what you should do is next time you come in, you bring the WD, you make a little phone thing. And then when he calls you up, hey, Dad, I've broken down again.
A breadcrumbs thing under the hood?
No, you make a video.
Oh. I was thinking about a piece of paper stuck under the hood that explains to him what to do.
No, you just, if he calls you up, hey, I broke down again, you just send him the video and go, follow this asshole. And
See, as soon as you fixed it, I thought it was fixed and I never thought about it again. So I forgot all that you showed me.
It's always going
to
do it.
What? Anytime? It's wet?
No, anytime the WD wears off.
Well, how could it wear off in 3 days, 5 days?
Because rain washes it off.
But you sprayed it inside those plugs, inside those caps.
Yeah, but it's going to go.
Did you take that, what's that cap called?
Distributor cap.
Did you take that off and spray in there?
Yes, I did.
You did. I can't take that off every time. That you really have to wrestle that thing.
You might be all right with the plug caps. Plus, you want to do anything visibly electrical.
Okay. This show could be like Car Talk. We could do a series of shows about cars.
I hate cars.
Motorcycles.
It'll be like Seinfeld's show.
Yeah.
But different.
The comedians in cars?
Yeah.
I just thought about that at this point. I don't know if I was dreaming or half awake, but I thought of comedian... I had a new name for this show based on that show. You know, like comedians...
Not in cars.
Yeah, sitting around talking about comedians and something like that. It was good, but now I don't remember it. All right, let's pull out the thread.
Let's get to the thread. Chappelle, 30 years on.
24 years ago, according to him. Well,
was it?
He said 24 years ago I stood on this stage.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 30, though. Anyway.
Well, damn close, too.
All right.
Were you surprised that in the first show that we talked about last week, he had to stand outside like you in New York City trying to flyer people to come to
your
shows?
Yeah, that was bullshit.
You think that's bullshit?
Absolute bullshit. Mm. When he said that, I was like, that's a lie. That's just to working class it up a bit.
Yeah.
HBO taping, was it? Yeah. Nah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, but...
To fill the place, he said.
I highly doubt it. He probably had to hustle it. Maybe hometown.
Yeah.
You know, we need this fall, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Because I didn't note that down.
You did.
Yeah.
Before we go any farther, Christian, did you watch this? Be honest.
I did.
Did
I watched
you fall
it last
asleep?
Night. No, I stayed up and I watched the entire thing.
You did?
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to... lean on your opinions a little bit here too. I love that first joke, right?
Well, hang on, wow, we're not at jokes yet. Oh. This is, we got to deal with.
Well, how do you want to review this? Do you want to like compare and contrast, or you just want to talk about this episode?
I like a timeline.
Okay, go ahead. So, I know what you're talking about.
Opens up with a Thoreau quote, which I thought was pretentious, but different.
Do you know the quote? Because I couldn't get it down.
What is it? Say it again.
No, I don't have it. That's why I asked you.
Something about dreaming?
Yeah.
Dreaming?
Something,
no.
A man who moves towards dreams can make us, you know, sizable. Something.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Anyway, I was just like, wow, quote, that's a bit weird.
Do you remember any other comedians whose show has been about dreams or titled Dreams? Go ahead, think hard.
Yeah, Rife.
Yeah, Matt Rife.
Yeah.
I think he stole it from him? Because Rife's came out after this.
Possibly. Has Rife been accused of stealing?
Like Carlos Mencia?
Yeah.
A great. Let's do a show about great thieves of comedy. The great thieves of comedy.
They did another boxer opening, what I'm calling the boxer opening.
Mm.
You know, I'm all
jazzed. He's backstage getting ready.
But what was weird was he had a Radiohead music, not like... A hard ass rap. I'm gonna fucking.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, Radiohead, which I thought, wow. You know, maybe it's racist for me to think of it, but I wouldn't think Radiohead Chappelle. Mm. I would think he was going at. Did you hear the Radiohead, by the way?
I didn't know that it was a Radiohead song.
I didn't even notice the music.
Oh, I always do, dude. Because you can tell a lot about. Do you remember in the 90s, just an anecdote again, how people thought intro music was vital? I knew people that...
Oh, the music they came up to?
Yeah, the people put more thought into their goddamn intro music. Like a fucking... Like a pitcher.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they had that back then. They didn't have intro music for like batters and pitchers in baseball.
Sox
until more recent. I mean, recent, like 10, 15 years maybe?
Sox did.
Walk-up songs for each individual player where they... They,
no, they did for the bullpen.
Well, they did in Major League for Wild Thing, Ricky Vaughn. He came out to Wild Thing. But anyway, I remember that, how like some comedians would be really particular about the song, and you had to have it played.
You had to hit it.
In a certain part in the song, right? Like,
yeah.
I always thought that was kind of douchey. You know, go up to whatever.
Yeah, but I know comedians that would just be in their head. Like, it could F their set up. Crocious used to get me to play Whole Lot of Love because he did this dick pan. You remember? Do you remember it? But it had to be immaculately choreographed because he, like, Robert Plant had to sing a whole lot of love, you know, and then Croesus would point to his dick. And then, you know, so it was like, no, you got to hit it exactly right. Otherwise, my comedy timing is messed up.
Yeah. He's getting booked.
I once got into it with this Southern guy because I played the dueling banjos after he got off. His whole act was just like, "Yeehaw, I'm from Kentucky." Da, da, da. So when he left the stage, I played the outro of the dueling banjos from Deliverance. Yeah, and he noticed like it. He did not like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't tell this story here, but I had a similar run-in with Dwayne Kennedy one time when I introduced him. But yeah, he didn't like what I introduced him. Okay. By the way, Christian holds up the time. I'm not concerned about the time.
I am.
Should I be concerned about it?
I'm time-driven.
Yeah, because we want this show to be a certain number of minutes for the 14 people.
Oh, I've got another good one.
Okay.
Why do Americans cheer for things like, I got married, I had a kid, like...
We already talked about
this. Who gives a fuck? Did we?
Yes. We talked about this in a previous episode.
I don't think it's Americans. I think it's just like certain people. You know, like people that go to a Chappelle show or something, you know?
No, it's all shows.
No, but you brought up...
I'm an American. I don't do that, you know?
Some
do. You
do
that, Bill?
Do I what?
Do you clap for like any little thing that they say?
No, I don't. But right, but the majority of the audience does. They're they're programmed too. Say, yeah, I've been married 25 years, and then
that's bullshit. Because when I took, I probably did. Because I talk about when I took the tour, and I had to tell American comedians. There's a really funny one. It's like, oh god. There's a funny English comedian and he talks about like how British people are like, I'm not fucking clapping for that. Like, I live here. Like, you know, and I had to tell people, you're not going to get a cheer for I just got engaged, because they're just going to sit and look at you and go, I don't care about that.
In England, they won't clap?
No.
All right. More discernible audience. Okay.
But that's weird. Why would you be conditioned to clap for some mundane thing that any... Yahoo could do.
It's a
support.
Yeah, it's a nicety. What's another word for that? Where, you know, you're just good job, you know. It's politeness. Did they do that for him when he said he'd been married?
Yeah.
Oh, like at the beginning when he said 24 years ago, since then I married my girlfriend.
Ooh. No, it was something else. Like, It was I got three kids now. Woohoo, yeah. I'm married. Woohoo.
It's probably television, you know, with laugh tracks and the applause sign during like late night shows and all that. You know, like you watch enough of that growing
up.
You're
conditioned.
Yeah, you're conditioned to do it. Unless you start to think otherwise, unless you actually, you know, actively think, I'm not clapping for this, like make me laugh, and then that's when I'll react. But if you don't go into it, and maybe we think about this more because we're kind of in that industry, but if you're not and you're just kind of showing up for a show, you're so used to seeing it one way on TV, you go, oh, that's how I'm going to do it here. Because I'm out in public and I don't want to seem like a fool. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I think it's to that point too, right? You don't want to seem like an asshole for not clapping. Like at the ball games, every second inning at the Cubs game, they bring out some member of the military, right?
Yeah.
Standard Corporal so-and-so from Great Lakes. And they, you know, everybody got to get up and clap. I won't do that either. You know?
I don't clap for that. I won't do it.
Now, if a guy had been in World War II, you know, or something like that, seen some real combat.
I'll clap because he's still alive.
Yeah.
You know, like that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, but if you're just,
I'll clap like good for you for getting here,
or whatever. Yeah.
I don't care if they're in the war.
Did I do the anecdote about me and my dad at a motorcycle event in America?
I don't know. Well, go ahead.
All right. Here's an anecdote. So I take my dad to see a flat track race in Indianapolis. And I totally forget, oh, there's going to be like this whole fucking military parade before the event. Here's a bunch of train killers. And now we're going to stand for the anthem. And,
here's a bunch of train killers.
You know, and now we're going to stand for the anthem, right? Well, my dad is very anti-nationalist. And I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking, like,
he's going to take a knee like Kaepernick?
Yeah, I'm thinking he's going to do something.
Well, this isn't his nation.
It doesn't matter. I'm thinking he's going to do something here. And we're in a grandstand full of bikers, you know, with like Vietnam patches.
Yeah.
And
oh
shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So anyway, I'm thinking, oh god, this could go like tits up, and we're wedged in. There's no running. Like you shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, so you better.
So they, you know, they get, gentlemen, please stand and remove your hats. And I'm thinking, all right, here we go.
Does he have a hat on?
He has a baseball cap on, and so he takes it off. Plays the game.
Yeah, 'cause he's in a foreign land.
Yep. We sit back down and I'm go, oh, that went without incident. And then he just leans over to me and he goes, what a load of bullshit. Like
somebody
after all
him.
The nationalism stuff. I don't think anyone did hear him, but I was laughing, obviously. But anyway, that's the nationalism thing. When they would play God Save the Queen at the start of a sporting event in England.
They do that over there? Like,
yeah, but it's not as rabid. Like, you won't get the shit kicked out of you if you refuse to think. Most people talk through it, to be honest. Mm. And every time he would go, why are we standing? Is she here? And then sit back down again.
Mm. I've sat during the anthem before.
Really?
Yeah, younger me, when I'm just like, this is propaganda. I want no part of it. I'm not doing it. I was taught to do this since the time I was born, and I don't believe in it. I'm not doing it, so I would actively sit during the anthem. And I don't know. Eventually, it just got to a point. It's like, I don't know, what point am I trying to make? You know, yeah. Like for instance, last week I was at a baseball game, but I was in a box.
Oh, and nice for you.
Yeah, but I didn't buy
brag.
The ticket. I didn't buy. Yeah, well, I didn't buy the ticket for the box. So when that moment came up,
this box better have something to do with the story.
And everybody was standing. Well, it was kind of a.
yeah, it doesn't
just to be polite, because it wasn't my ticket that I bought. I stood for the thing, but there was a moment when everybody was standing where I considered.
If you were down in the cheap seats with the plebes, would you have stood?
I don't know.
What if some thug said they were going to dump a bear on you or something? And now
they might.
That would have made me want to sit more. That would have made me want to say, "Go ahead and try."
Yeah, whatever anyone wants to do, you know.
Yeah.
My father served in the Coast Guard. Went down to the South Pole with Admiral Byrd. Want to hear that anecdote? No. Okay. Okay. Any more anecdotes?
Nope, no anecdotes. Back to the thread. Did you notice the Chappelle branding thing everywhere?
He wears it on his coat.
I know.
Coat.
Holy
then
crap.
When he took his coat off, he had a chain with the Chappelle. I don't think I could
everywhere.
Do that. Even if I was... You know, like, I wouldn't wear my own stuff.
Because I was kind of surprised, because didn't he walk out on Comedy Central famously and go, you know what, stick your 10 million up your ass.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
Branding, to me, suggests I want to make every penny I can make.
Yeah.
So what's that about?
Well, I don't see any of his branding, his brand stuff for sale. It's just his own, like...
It must be for sale.
It's like LeBron James has his own logo and some people like that, you know?
I don't know.
Well.
And he started off with shout outs to Norm, Jim Carrey, and Andy Kaufman, which is odd.
Yeah. Surprised that he was a big fan of Jim Carrey, I guess. Yeah.
Well, that was his anecdote lead in, right?
Yeah.
Mind you, no, he said, I was giddy about meeting him. It was a good anecdote.
It was. He's a great storyteller. He really is. And it seems like, every story starts off either heartfelt or serious, and can get political or whatever it is. And then, but it all is a slow train to some fucking outrageous.
He definitely knows.
I love it. It's great, right? But you know it's coming, right? You know it's coming.
I actually didn't know it was coming. I didn't know that was his segue
into the
Kaufman Carey thing was a segue into
the trans.
You don't tell me what. I mean, let's face it. This special was a pure and simple statement. You do not tell me what I say.
Yeah. Yeah, and
that's its sole function.
Probably. I mean, go through the material, but yeah, it was definitely a rebuttal to all the criticism he got for making trans jokes. Yeah, which I don't even remember what they were, or you know.
Just goes straight for the jugular.
He does
after that.
Yeah, and then he goes into handicapped people.
Yeah, and he's doing like the handicapped pantomime like yeah. Trump did it. I mean, like, whoa.
Oh, was that Trump that did that?
Yeah.
Trump did a handicap pantomime? He did?
Yeah. That was one of the things he done.
Yeah. Did you find the act funny?
Because of the whole, okay, I'm trying to concentrate on what you're doing politically here, I wasn't concentrating on funny as much. I was processing, okay, this is clearly an FU, and he's going to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. I mean, I found he did that Titanic joke, you know, about the Titanic.
Help me understand that one, okay? Because I don't know if I get it, or it's just
stupid. About,
you
remember all those wealthy people that tried to go down to see the Titanic?
Yes.
And the thing imploded.
Oh, that's right.
Like they get halfway down and they're just flattened.
There you go.
That's what that was about.
I forgot about that. Yeah, the Richard Branson.
So what were you thinking?
I don't
of the
know.
Bit
I just thought he was being silly about the dead people on the Titanic, you know, and he just wanted to do that.
Didn't you think,
watery grave.
Yeah, don't you think there's not a lot of point to the joke?
Yeah, that's what I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand this, right? Like, that makes a lot of sense. I wish I had you, you know, during, when I watch these to explain the jokes for me. Yeah.
I can explain all the pop culture references
I don't get a lot.
Point
I miss
to
a
it
lot
all.
Of it.
I see, I'm big on not so much... Sometimes why the comedian is saying the joke. No, not so much what the joke is. It's what, okay, why are you telling me this? I want to, because I find the need, if I feel like if I understand someone's thought patterns, I understand them. Now I control them. I own them. I am the master.
What?
Right? So when I'm listening to a comedian, I'm also processing, okay, why
you're
are you telling me this? Yeah. Why are you telling me this? And a lot of what was going on in my head with Chappelle was, okay, why are you doing this?
Yeah, that makes it, I would think it would make it hard to enjoy the art if you're psychoanalyzing it like that.
My brain wants what my brain wants.
Yeah, I guess. So were you laughing? I was laughing.
Yeah.
I think this guy's great. I think he's one of the best ever.
Once we skip through, you know, trans handicapped people and he starts to get, okay, I'm going to do an act now. Strip club, I got good bit. Chris Rock, really good bit because I like Chris Rock. So I like, yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm friends with Chris myself now. He's telling me all this inside a bit. The attack bit, obviously that is a vast majority of this set.
It's a big chunk. It goes from the Chris Rock thing to him being attacked on stage.
Yeah.
You know, to the ending that group of bits with, you know, him, his wife worrying about him being killed, right? That was great. Where he talks about, you're going to be fine. I got a safety deposit box. Here's the key. She goes and looks in it. And there's a joke book in there. If you tell all those jokes exactly how they're written, you guys should be fine. It's so fucking good. It's great.
It is, yeah.
That's great.
And what I put ending story, great bit, but I didn't put what the story was. It's after the wife cheating bit.
So he goes and he says, well, first of all, can we talk about the cigarette? Like every time I watch him now, and this is however, you know, past 5 or so years, maybe more, with the cigarette. You know, like how jarring it is to see a performer with a cigarette. I can't think of any nowadays, right? And that how he's allowed to do it on stage, right? Like
that's a
violation of some kind of.
It's a statement. I think you can get special dispensation and say, well, it's part of a thing.
You can,
but it's definitely like an I've done it.
Yeah, but the cigarette thing is just throws me.
Yeah, and it has changed. I think you were talking last time about his voice has changed from the sort of, to now it's like.
Are you saying that's a result of the cigarettes?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Well, the joke, so you learn why it's called Dave Chappelle the Dreamer. The Dreamer or Dreamer?
Yeah, I think it's The Dreamer.
The Dreamer. Yeah. With the last bit, right? Yeah. Which we can get to, but the last joke in the bit totally bombs. The part about the little Nas X, like, it gets almost no laugh. I couldn't believe, it's kind of great, right? He bombs on the way out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what comedian ends with a bomb, right? He does.
Someone with $50 million in the bank who gets to do whatever they want.
Right. Right, and that's maybe more about what he is and what this is. It is a fuck you. It's, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to say what I want. I'm going to smoke on stage. I'm going to say and insult everybody I want. He even talks about the Titanic joke being one, like,
I know this
makes him a lazy comedian because he doesn't care if only three people in the room laugh. That's good enough, right? Like, so yeah, I don't know if that's what the special is about, but that's definitely who he is and who he's become since 24 years ago when we saw that first one. Not that he was a crowd pleaser or a people pleaser back then, but and that's what he's talking about, I think, when he's talking about dreaming. Like, I'm doing this exactly the way I want to do it, right? He talked about, you know, that nightclub thing where he did his first special, which that was before, that must have been before the one that we watched, right? Before the first special. He talked about a half-hour special for HBO.
It was
before that. And him believing in himself so much and going in and, you know, going after the Russian mob.
After the Russian mob, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, yeah, something just went out in the headphone, but.
I'm only getting one headphone now. Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm only getting one. But I think that's why he's the best, right? He is Richard Pryor of this generation, right? Who Richard Pryor was unbridled, right? Like, he was seemingly just saying everything he wanted to say regardless of who it offended and the consequences or how revealing it was of himself. Chappelle's very revealing, assuming some of this stuff is true about, you know, his who he is. You know, like, he is fearless. He is, I don't know, I think the best comedian doing it, right? Just craft-wise. And just, I don't know, maybe it's taste, but yeah.
I mean, he's certainly very, very, very good, but it doesn't need us to say that. I'm just not sure he's the best. Because
he's the best. Go ahead.
Because I don't know, some of this, like I say, I'm looking at why you're telling me this stuff, and is it for me or is it for you? Because while you're on stage, you're doing your clown act for me, not for you, for me. And that could be a fundamental difference in, because you were always like Mr. Art House, I'm going to do whatever you do and you process it however you want. Whereas I was always like, no, there's a thing to this. You're doing your clown act for me, the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where we diverge.
That's where we're very different, right? And my thing would be, he's doing it exactly the way he wants to do it, and that is for you, right? Like, if he's just trying to give you what you want, right, or what you want to hear, or, you know, jokes that you will like, that's just marketing, packaging. It's junk, right? I mean, it can be good. We've seen comedians who do that, right? That want to have mass appeal, and that's their goal, and they deliver it, right? And they do it for the audience. But it's interesting because he says at the end of the show, I'm living in your dream, right?
I thought he was living in his dream.
Well, he starts saying that, but then he said, I realized the very last thing. I realized after all these years, 23 years, whatever, I'm living in your dream. Thank you for letting me live in your dream, right? Like, him doing his art the way he wants to do it is only... It's only possible because people are watching it, right, in their lives, right? And so, I don't know.
Anyways, very, very good still.
But it's, but, and I mean, I don't want to. It is. it's not a clown act either, right? Like it is very base and like dirty jokes and punching down, right? Mm-hmm. And you could look at it on that level, but like it's all social commentary of where we are in our society, mm-hmm. right? It all his jokes, if you go through them, they really capture the world right now. And I guess every comedian does to some degree, right? Because we're all reflections of that. But I just think that there's a lot, there's many levels. And maybe I'm just fanboying out here, but I think there's just many levels to his writing, to what he's saying. I don't think it's just, fuck you, I'm doing what I want to do and I'm care. I think there is that. But I think it also goes much deeper than that.
What are the specials like in between the two we've looked at? So they had the trans.
Yeah, I don't know.
One.
I mean,
I've never watched it.
I've seen some of them, right? Yeah. I don't hold on to them in my mind like what they were about. But there, I think that's why Christian, your idea was to look at the first one and then look at this one, is to see how different he was from the beginning to now. How different is he?
I don't think he is that different. He always said what he wanted to say about society, and he still says what he wants to say about society.
But is he... yeah, but how much has the writing changed? How much has the craft changed? How much better of a comedian is he now? In some ways, I think he's sloppier, right? He doesn't pay attention to the craft as much. He's just... He's up there and he's not thinking about that, mm-hmm. right? He's like when they talk about an athlete being in the zone, right? Being able to see the ball and hit it or shoot a ball and the basket looks huge. It just seems like, I'm sure there's many times he performs, he's not, but what we're seeing in these specials is just him just in the zone, right? Mm-hmm. Like he goes wherever he wants. He can say what he can do no wrong almost as a comedian, right? Even when he offends, he wins. Even when he bombs, like we're talking about, he bombed with the last joke. He wins because it's a F you. He's so good, he can bomb. He can do no wrong, even when he does wrong. They tried to cancel him. He came back and doubled down and is still just as popular. Yeah. Right? It's kind of like Howard Stern in that regard. You know, like when you are truly free to feel free to just not worry about what people think, right? And just go and speak your truth. And that's what the quote was about at the beginning. That's what the whole last 20 minutes are about following your dreams, and him saying, I'm a hard dreamer. I dream hard. And it's because he does that he's able to make these things come true. I feel like you're just watching me and looking at me as I philosophize about Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, because this is your thing.
What do you mean this is my thing?
Chappelle is your thing.
I didn't choose Chappelle.
Chappelle is your thing. I've said what I gotta say. He's very, very good. Some of it I question, well, why do you feel the need to tell me this? But, you know, he's a very, very, very good comedian. Not that we need to say that. And that's it. That's all there is to say. I've inventoried his bits and blah, blah, blah.
This is like saying, like walking into the, you know, Sistine Chapel and looking up at the ceiling and saying, yeah, he's a good painter. He's painted really a nice painting here. I think people like it. And what do you want me to say? Leonardo da Vinci's a good painter. And you're missing it. You're not seeing the genius of this.
I actually...
Christian, get in here.
Isn't it Michelangelo?
Oh. Whatever. I'm not, you know... art historian.
Actually, it's funny. Let's go back to Anecdote Town. I was in an art gallery this very weekend in Memphis, and I'm looking at some very, like, high-end art. You know, Degas and names you would know, right? And this woman turned and said something to me, and then she looked back and she was like, oh, sorry, I thought I was talking to someone else, you know, because like
somebody walked away. Yeah.
And all this. And I think she felt duty bound then to engage me because she's like the embarrassment, like, and she said, "See, you know what?" She said some comment about the art, and I literally just had to say to her, "I'm sorry, but I'm a complete Philistine, and when I look at things, great works of beauty or whatever, they really don't stir much within me, other than that's good or that's not good, like that, and I." That's me.
Yeah, but you gush over Maria Bamford or that other Eddie Pepitone. Like,
I didn't gush.
You know, you gushed.
You're the gusher.
Well, I'm gushing right now, and I'd like someone to gush with me. I mean, I can't be home gushing with my wife, so I'm gonna, I guess I'm going to gush here.
I'm not a gusher.
But that's very interesting. You talk about psychoanalyzing. I'm sitting here psychoanalyzing you. Like, when something is really, really good, you shut down emotionally, and you just can't acknowledge it. You can't recognize true beauty or genius.
No, I can't.
It's like a taste bud you don't have.
It's just a good thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I look at people looking at art, and I'm like, what do you see that I don't? It vexes
There's no
me.
Art that
It'd be if
moves you.
It'd be something really. Things that move me are things that are really dumb.
Like Benny Hill.
Not fucking Benny Hill. Like, there is the odd thing that moves me, but great works of art. I mean, I'll look at something and go, "Wow, how?" Like, here's you looking at a painting, right? Oh, what a wonderful. Progression of clouds. This guy, oh, I can feel the
Clearly
pain.
Clearly, that's not me. I didn't
feel
know
the
Michelangelo.
Pain, feel the pain of this person seeping through, right? Here's me looking at the same thing. That's a really interesting composition. I wonder, like, how they actually executed it. The frame's good. I wonder how long it took to make that frame. It's carved. Yeah. What did they paint it with? Like, that's me looking at the same thing.
Yeah. You shut up emotionally, I guess, is what we've learned here. Is that you
I'm a Philistine. I'll admit that freely.
I don't think it's... No, because I think you do appreciate art, but...
Not
you know, you're emotionally... Anything that is... You shut up emotionally, right? Yeah. You're dead inside, is what I'm...
That's very possible, yeah. Well, I am trying to reawaken.
Right, that's what this is all about. Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah. Well, I guess Dave Chappelle didn't break through, but...
Did you ever see Sister Wendy's Odyssey? And I'm the nun.
I have no idea what you're talking
I have
about.
No idea.
Sister Wendy's Sister Wendy, they took this old nun...
It's from the BBC?
Yeah, he's like 90 years old. They took this old nun who's 90 years old, and they took her around all of the cultural... high points of Europe and said, you know, what do you think of this?
Yeah, what did she say?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Oh, what the why are you referencing
it? I'm just saying it's a similar thing.
Well,
I knew the premise.
Yeah. Sister Wendy. We should name the show Sister Wendy.
There's new Black Mirrors. If you want to see me react,
that's
come watch me watch Black Mirror.
That's the show, Black Mirror?
You've never seen Black Mirror?
No. Is it on the BBC?
Everyone has seen Black Mirror.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I've seen it.
I don't know no Black Mirror, but I know a
difference between
Black Swan.
Difference between black mirrors and white mirrors?
Yeah. I've seen White Mirror. All right. Well, listen, I really wanted to get into this and you know.
What do you want to get into?
I wanted to gush out with you.
Gush. Carry on gushing.
No, there's not, I mean, it's not fun if you're just going to sit there and look at me blankly. You know?
I was trying to
at least
you
it's Siskel and Ebert, the other guy would argue with him. You're just
I was trying to give you your, good, you're like a horse running free, and I'm trying to give you your, head? That just sounds pervy, but.
Let go of the reins?
Yeah, just let the wild horse.
He was looking at you.
Run through the meadow.
Well, I didn't feel wild. I felt judged for my gallop.
Run through the meadow of Chappelle Land. Go and toss your mane back.
Listen, you're never going to hear me gush again like this. I will say this on the record. Dave Chappelle is the greatest comedian living or dead, past, present. He's the greatest comedian of all time.
I will say this. He is very, very, very good. So it's a confirm. What? No, what did we do? We did.
It is special.
Special. It is special.
Isn't that special? It is special. Christian, we didn't really let you talk at all. This is your brainchild, and I don't think we delivered on it, but, you know, concluding thoughts.
This is the worst episode, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it kind of mirrors the special that we're forming the episode around. I thought it was a lot of just self-gratification, and I agree with Mark on a lot of things. I was watching him thinking, like, if I was watching a different comedian that I had never heard of telling me, do this whole set, would I think it's funny? And absolutely not. However, I realize that you can't purely look at it that way. You have to consider the fact of his history and how well-known he is. However, I don't think that goes far enough. He started it by saying, his last special was a little under 24 years ago and how much has changed. And considering how much I enjoyed the last one that we reviewed, I couldn't agree more. I didn't laugh one time. I didn't think it was funny at all.
I mean, you couldn't disagree more.
No, I couldn't agree with him more how much has changed.
Oh, okay. I see.
How bad of a special compared to his first one was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's why you're sitting over there quiet by the printer.
I was staring at you like a painting.
Yeah.
Like a painting of a horse running
free.
Well,
let me say this. I didn't think this special was particularly great. I think he is great. Right? He could take a dump in a box. And I would say it's genius. Like Picasso, who would write on a napkin. It's a fucking Picasso. He is great.
That being said, yeah, I think there was a special not too long ago that I had given a good review on this podcast because it was, I didn't think that the artist was very funny, but what they did as far as an entertainer really
fit the
bill. You didn't
like them as an artist, but you appreciated the act that you watched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It might have been Larry the Cable Guy.
I liked Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah. You know, or like I didn't care for the act, but to see like, oh, he knows exactly how to deliver what he's trying to deliver.
What did you think of the credits with all that? The famous people.
That was
my
favorite part.
That was a bit self. I was like, all right, you're a multi millionaire, and you know everyone famous, and they all kiss your ass. Like, maybe I'm a player hater. Didn't like that.
Well, I was in a rush, so I had one eye on it, one eye on the door when it was rolling. But I did see some of the celebrities, but it seemed more like all the people he made fun of, handicapped people, trans people, Little Nas X. I don't know if he was in there, but they're all in there, right? Like, so you think like these people would hate him, then you see like him hugging on.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Right, he even had the shot. It was a clip of the guy in the wheelchair laughing at one of his shows, kind of to say like, "Hey, look, see you guys. Yeah. Like, I can make fun of people, but I'm actually friends with them, and they like me."
I thought it was all famous people in the pictures.
I thought most of them were. I didn't recognize half of the people in the pictures, but I did notice that. A lot of the people he made fun of were represented in those photos.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like, this is kind of like the cigarette thing. You know, smoking a cigarette is a statement. However, if you have to get a permission slip, you know, from the venue first to do it, it definitely negates like how badass it is to smoke the cigarette.
And it's also
kind of like if you're going to go up there and
smoking like dice clay, like,
right.
Right, like,
right.
It's not.
But if you have to
badass,
ask special permission first to do it, it takes all the badassness away from it. You know, like if you see him do it, you don't know he has to like actually get like a special form, you know, but if you know that
we don't
the
know
scenes,
that either. Right.
I guess we don't know 100%, but he's done it more than once. And
yeah, it's part of his act.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise anymore. So, you know, a venue's not going to they're going to say, hey, you're going to smoke a cigarette, you know?
Yeah.
And same thing with the photos is what I'm saying is that he was up there making fun of a lot of people.
Yeah, maybe
it kind of takes the air out of the tires.
It does. It does. I see that. Yeah.
It's kind of looking for. See?
They like me.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Hopefully, I've ruined it for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're starting to ruin this. Make love. Can we go back to talking about that?
No.
All right. What's next? On the docket. Andrew Dice Clay, I think we agreed, was the next comedian.
I was thinking, Mark, what's the comedian that you keep saying that you like a lot? that I've never heard of that you're
see Bill's gonna go in for a revenge attack. Revenge attack.
Whoever this British guy is, you
we can't we can't not do it just because of that.
Do I have to get Brit Box or Bird Box to watch this shit? Free trial.
If I was gonna pick a Stuart Lee to do, I would say Carpet Remnant World, but I'm not sure you're gonna find it. What might be good though is he just released two specials, Snowflake Tornado, and there's a very long Chappelle anecdote in one of them.
Really?
But I think you got to base yourself by starting at Carpet Remnant World, to be honest.
Okay, well, hopefully we can watch it. If not, find something we can watch.
I'll
right?
see if it's on like Daily. It might be on Daily Motion at this point, I'm guessing.
Mm. Is he as good as Nick Swardson? Would you say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what I just sneezed into my thing is good. Did you guys go see Swardson?
No, is it over?
Text?
Did it already? Yeah, it already passed.
I think that one passed by.
We got to get out. We got to go see a show, and we got to review a show we see live. Can we do that?
We should do it during the show.
Yeah,
like the guys in the Muppets.
Sneak a thing in.
Sneak a thing. Yeah, it's not very good, right? I didn't even get that joke. That'd be fun. I don't think that would last long. Okay, so we're bumping dice. Let him know he's getting bumped in favor of someone who I wouldn't know him if I backed over him with my car. Stuart Lee. Have you heard of this man?
Not before doing
all
this
right.
podcast.
This is what it's all about. I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
Because I truly have no opinion at all.
Because you're revenge attack.
And I
attack.
Will. I'm hoping to hate it so I can go after you.
All right. I'm going to get you this specific Stuart Lee. Snowflake Tornado I downloaded as an MP4 so I can, you know, give you a, what do you call it, flash drive with that on it. But
an MP4 have video?
Yeah, that's what MP4 is. That's MP3 is sound only.
Yeah. Hey, do you have any of those mini disc players laying around?
No. I think I sold all of it.
Who the hell would buy it?
I ended up with mine, Lawler's, and yours.
My player?
You gave it to me. You're like, this thing is over. Like, do you want it or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, it's all over with.
Because you used to play music out of
shit
at the
show.
I was
all in on mini discs. Oh, God. Yeah, and so was Tom Lawler. I ended up with just this mountain of players and shit. And I think I just eBayed it. I was like, you know, $20, take this away.
Yeah, it's probably more than it's worth.
I think yours was broken. Mine was broken.
Well,
Tom's worked. Yeah.
I still have all my discs. I have
hundreds
of hours.
Discs.
No, I did not. With my act on it?
Why would you give me the player but retain the discs?
Because the discs have my act on it.
Yeah, well, I guess. All right.
You have discs with my act?
This is done now, right?
It's still recording. Yeah, I go into the outro music.
All right. No, I don't know where it is. I bet if you went on eBay, you'd find a working one. You'd play it to the kids.
I think at some point we have to review each other's acts on here. I'm sure you got some micro cassette of you at some odd production.
The only footage I had was on my 40th birthday. I did a show. And I think I hid it because I was like, oh, people, you know, search for stuff now. Hit that.
Yeah.
There is footage out there somewhere. Someone had the last ever Midnight Bible School, which I'm pretty sure you weren't invited to.
Oh. I was going to say, how did I do?
No, you were probably there because you and Dwyer were lover boys, weren't you? Footage of me at the last ever Bible school, I think, is. But the only person who has it is Eric Acosta, and I think he lost it or something.
Oh.
That would be a good artifact to chase.
Yeah. Let's get on that.
Yep. All right.
What
I've
is that?
Gone
it
one again.
Yeah.
Something's knocking it down to one.
Did it just happen? Did it go back and then it just happened again?
It went back and then it just did it again.
It must be
because
I was fiddling with these just for a second.
Maybe.
And then, because that was happening yesterday during the other podcast.